praying for you. And I have received a variety of answers. I thought two answers are very good. One devotee told me, well, I'm trying, and I'm asking, was asking, are you getting something out of this with your attempts, with your tries? And he said, yes, certainly. So we are now looking into our heart to find out what has come up for us in this retreat, what has shown itself. For instance, in my case, I would say, I noticed how much I like to sing with the devotees. This really has come up, and I think it has two reasons. One is a spiritual reason and the other a material reason. The spiritual reason is you seem to be very sincere devotees. I'm totally surprised, and I must admit I also react very much to sound, and I think it's a brilliant acoustic in this hall, so I enjoy that very much. So the two things has come up for me. I found out maybe we should just do a kirtan retreat and not a japa retreat. Because after all, yoga dharma is kirtan, you know. So this has come up, this has shown itself to me, and now I'm working at the kirtan retreat. I'm already making notes and so on. So what has come up for you? Please share this with your partner, and the partner, when one speaks, emphatic listening, you know, and when the other says something to you, don't react from the platform of false ego if he gets you, gives you a nice tip. So is it clear to you? What has come up? What is alive in you now? Maybe you have to think a little bit. It's all part of this practice which we are doing, becoming present. I think yesterday some of you told me, said this was very important for me yesterday, to learn to be present in the present. You know? So what is now in you? Or even from yesterday, or you know, what lives in you? What has come up? Is it a good question? Dobro. Then you please start. You will have to be a little fast in these exercises because so many wonderful things are waiting for us today. Start now, please. I'm very sorry, I forgot. It's something we have like 5 to 7 minutes. Both partners should please share. It's not that now, until the next ring, only partner A or partner B should share. It's a dialogue. Exactly, it's a dialogue. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, Hari Bol, yesterday we were hearing how our mind has difficulties to be in the present, to be concentrated, to be here, because mostly it is in the past or in the future. What it means that the mind is in the, when we say the mind is in the past, we say the mind is engaged with memories, with maybe regretting. It also thinks with a reference and awe of things of the past, things that have already happened and are over. When we say the mind is in the future, it means that the mind anticipates something or plans or worries or fantasizes about the future and what you want
or don't want to happen. This is the two functions of the mind. It's in English we say spaced out. It's out of space. It's not in the space now. The mind in Sanskrit is called antakarana. Anta means an inner, and karana means an instrument. You can use the mind, for instance, to grab to concepts, or to grab to form, and then bring it inside, and then you look at it and you perceive of this. I could, for instance, say, look at Sasha, Sack. And now I kept Sasha's picture inside. This is what the mind does. It grabs things, and it should be in the present. It should be now and serve me now, but it's either here or there, in the future or in the past. That means shows to us that the mind is not an instrument which we use, but often the mind has become an instrument which uses me. It has become active. It does something with me. It should be my servant, but no. This mind, foolish mind, this is how Gogovinda Maharaj says, it just doesn't act like my servant. It becomes independent of me. It's like a child who goes into the supermarket. Banu Nandini has a very active young little brother, dynamic little brother. Now he is no longer so little. He is a big brother with a deep voice. But imagine he was small, like 12 or 13 years old, his name is Harris, and you would go with him through the supermarket. He would start to run like a little maimon and take this and take that, some toys, some movies, some instruments and other things. He would say, no, I don't want this. This is exactly how the mind is. It's not really following you. It does what it wants. It grabs things. This is called sankalpa, and it rejects things all the time, like a little child in the supermarket. I like, I don't like. I want this, I don't want this. Mother, buy me this, mother, this is really bad. This is how the mind does, and it wants to exert its control over you. So, in reality, we know we only have moments to live by, and in these moments, we should be able to feel the divine presence. Now, I will show you how the yogis do this, and then I will show you how the bhakti yogis do this. The yogis have a very interesting exercise, which I would say is good when you want to go to sleep, for instance. I mean, before you go to sleep. The yogis know that every condition, every person who has a body chants naturally 26,500 times a day the names of God. 26,500 times a day? How do you chant the names of God? In the yoga tradition, this name, and what is this name? This is the name of the super soul who is in the heart, who's residing there like a swan. You might remember from the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, there the super soul appears and says to the soul, my dear, since time immemorial, both of us are residing on the lake of your heart like two swans. Both of us. You can imagine in your heart there is a lake. And there are two swans on this. You. It's interesting to think of ourselves as a swan. And the super soul. What is the name of this super soul? Yeah, connection with the swan. I think some of you said it already. Paramatma, yes, but what is his name? Param means above and Atma means the soul. Hansa. Hansa. It's a beautiful name. Hansa. Hansa. No, I'm saying it's not Hamsa, but Hansa. And like you pronounce it like NG. Hansa. And every soul chants his glories either consciously or unconsciously. How so? When I breathe in, the sound is, and when I breathe out, so ecstatic. I have goose pimples. It's so goose pimples, you know. My hair is bristling. Everyone chants. Everyone, without exception. In the Madhva Sampradaya, you must know, we are in the school, our school is called Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya. They know it's Mukhya Prana who is chanting inside of us, who's doing this, even when we sleep. Mukhya Prana means the super soul itself is chanting, helping us to chant. Now, you will see, when you learn to chant properly this mantra, this original, primeval, biological mantra, you become blissful. The scriptures say, only the fools don't do this. Now, in the modern times, unfortunately, this has been turned around. They chant not Hansa, but Soham, I am God, I am. That's a mistake, and it's not the original natural thing how you chant. It is something not authorized and not natural. So I would like that for a moment you try to. First of all, breathe. We do this yogi way. Don't worry, we won't stop at the yogi way, but we first have to learn to be present to what is happening. Please sit properly. Check the three spots. Shoulders and the head. And just breathe in into the chest, into this area, because there are the lungs. And really, we have request. Are the windows open? Yes. Really, breathe deep. It's absolutely free. Yeah, in Japan and Tokyo, you have to buy. Oxygen. No, I'm serious. You have to go to these instruments. Please, it's free. It will be good if we do a few times. Get some oxygen in this blood so that your brain comes awake. Please do a little bit more. You have to do it stronger. Thank you. So while we now inhale, we go hung in our mind, hung, and when we exhale, we go sa in our mind. With the exhale, we can also say it a little bit, yeah, a little bit like whispering. Start now, please. And don't just do it as a fun exercise. Be present with this, with the divine sound of God, who is always within you. Enjoy the hung, if you so want. What I mean with this, feel the hung. Do this for about 30 to 60 more seconds. Now try to not make any sound by breathing, just the sound of the mantra, hangsa. In other words, breathe in peacefully. And concentrate your thought, please, on the Super Soul, on the Lord within your heart. Worship Him through this mantra. Say this mantra to Him in reverence, in gratitude. The Lord who's in you makes you alive. It's so good to be alive. And the Lord is worshipped by your life. That is the life force, the prana, the breath. 30 more seconds, please. Oh, sorry. Here's a verse from one Sanghita. Japa is the progressive realization of the Supreme. Progressive means step by step you realize the Supreme Lord by Japa. One's own primeval sound, which is a mantra, is to be repeated. In other words, every one of you has a sound, the sound of your breath. With the letter sa, the breath is expelled. Sa. With the letter ha, it again re-enters. The jiva constantly repeats this mantra, hangsa, 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 hangsa. Day and night it repeats this mantra. I gave you the wrong number, I'm sorry. 21,600 times, not 25 or what I said in the beginning. 21,600 times. The repetition of this mantra of the Lord is repeated. It is simple to achieve this japa, but difficult for the Dalats. Dalats means the Gurubi Osabas. The Gurubi Osaba means the gross people. Gurubi Osaba, no? You are always chanting Dhammayanti. Dharmagup, Be happy. You are always chanting 24 hours a day without any problem. Now you have to just concentrate on it. I recommend when you go to bed, just, you know, as you lie down, and what do you usually do when you lie down? You breathe in and out, no? And wait until the sleep comes. I always go in my heart and think of Radha and Krishna because I want to dream of them and then go there. That's the devotee way to go fall asleep. Or maybe some just want to switch off, you know, this terrible devil up there who always gave me problems. You wait that the mind is shuts off and is silent. It works when you chant Hansa. And concentrate on the super soul and be full of gratitude to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Ivo? I think you are looking very deeply. This is a wonderful discovery today. We can chant this mantra. Sasha, how do you like this? It's great, isn't it? I also think it's absolutely fantastic. And you can do this. This is from the Madhva Sampradaya, my dear devotees, and we are connected with this. So, but obviously we won't throw the Hare Krishna mantra out and now go only Hansa, 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 Hansa. No, don't worry, don't worry. We will now go through a series of exercise which the devotees of Bhagavad life have developed, Purusha Shukta Prabhu and Mahatma Prabhu. I'm sorry, it didn't came to me. Mahatma Prabhu, Yagya Purusha Prabhu. It's a really good exercise which they teach in America during the Japa retreats. There are about 13 or 14 Japa retreats in America, and also in China it has now started, and Hong Kong. Hale Lama. Yeah, R is difficult. They say L. Hale Lama. Yeah. And French H is a problem. Hare. They say Hare Krishna. But they can also learn. Gaura Hari has learned very nicely. So now I request you, we will chant now one word of the Hare Krishna mantra at a time. It's just for exercise. We will go through a series of exercise. The goal is that we can be present in each name of Krishna while we chant it. So for this, we will do now a very interesting exercise. We will, so to say, look at each single name. That means we will say Hare, only Hare, and you will see how when you take the mind away from this, yes, I know the mantra, it's Krishna afterwards, and then it comes a Hare, and then it's a Krishna, you know. What we will do is we will consciously chant. We will consciously bring it there by breaking the old habit. So we will now only say Hare. I will make it for you. We will say it very slow and very consciously, almost like we did Hansa, but we won't do it in combination with the breath. I will do it a few times, and when you hear me ring the bell, please join me. Where is my orchestra? Sharita, can you bring me my orchestra? Thank you. Hare
Hare, 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 Hare. We go to Krishna. I will once do it alone, and then we will all do it together when we hear the bell. Krishna, 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 Krishna. How does it feel, Sachinandan Swami? How does it really sound? What does it mean when the sound enters? What goes on in you when you hear this? Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hear the name outside of you. Outside of you.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
I know it's tough, but last name is Rama, Rama. First is a long A, huh? Rama, 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 Rama. How does it sound? Hear the name inside of you, Sachinandan Swami. Inside. What does it mean? I have to go with my concentration. All right, inside the heart. Yes, there is inside. I Rama, Rama, Rama. There it is. It's there, a little inside the heart. I have to go deeper. Rama, Rama. Rama, 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 Rama. How does it sound from the outside? Rama, 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 Rama. Hare Krishna, wonderful. Now two names at a time, please. Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. First inside, and then outside. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
How does it sound inside?
Hare Krishna, Hare.
Go with your attention inside.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna. Now,
just hear a little inside of you. Remember how you chanted Hare Krishna, and you will hear a subtle sound inside of you. Now we will do eight names at a time. That is half of the mantra, a few times. Always do. But there is one exception. When I give you the ring, the final ring, we will be silent and we will just sit and just see what happened with us just now. Start now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please repeat the mantra now mentally. We will start now. I will say it whispering, and you will please chant along with me, but in your mind. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now try to chant it alone in the mind. I will say the first two names. Hare Krishna. Yes, you can now slowly, when you are ready, come out of your Naam Dhyan, your meditation on the name. Hare Krishna. We will have a very brief exercise now, educational point. I think you all know that there is one Dhyan Chandra Goswami. He is the disciple of Gopal Guru Goswami. They lived in Jagannath Puri, and after Gopal Guru Goswami's departure, the king of Puri tried to seize or take the ashram of Gopal Guru and make it a royal property. Dhyan Chandra was absolutely mortified. He went to his spiritual master, who was just on the cremation pyre of Svagadvara, that's a place on the beach, and he came there not knowing what to do. The king's men were using the opportunity to annex. Annex means to take, like an annexion, what it's called, property, to take property of it. And there were the deities. It was the property of his Guru Maharaj. Now his Guru Maharaj had left. Dhyan Chandra was totally opposed to the concept that everything would disintegrate and fall to pieces. So he went to his Guru Maharaj, who was ready to be cremated, and he said, "Oh Guru Maharaj, I'm too unorganized, and I have never dealt with these management questions. They are taking the ashram. You are a dear devotee of Krishna. Could you just come back, you know, and clarify this management issue?" "Guru Maharaj, please don't just go like this." All of a sudden, the life came back to Gopal Guru Goswami. He got up and said, "Where is that king?" He lives. Everyone was joyous. Gopal Guru Goswami got down from the funeral pyre, went into his ashram and demanded to have an interview with the king. And the king quickly came and said, "Oh Maharaj, what can we do for you?" "Bodhidoba, be good," said Gopal Guru Goswami. "This is an ashram which I have inhabited, and I'm giving this ashram over to my disciple Dhyan Chandra. It should be written down in a legal document. I'm saying this with full conscience. He will be my successor, not the king." "Is that clear, Maharaj?" Of course. So the legal document was signed. Gopal Guru Goswami lived for 3 more days, and then he went to Vrindavan. What it meant is he rested his body, he laid the body down, he left the body was cremated, and Gopal Guru Goswami was seen one more time in a form by disciples in Vrindavan, and then he left for the eternal Vrindavan. So Dhyan Chandra Goswami has written a book where he put the instructions which Gopal Guru Goswami had given to him. Gopal Guru Goswami is famous because he was the one who said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was a small child, "Mahaprabhu, you should chant in it always." See, Mahaprabhu had entered the VC, and when he came out from the bathroom, he had his tongue like this. And the little boy, 8 years old, Gopal Guru, asked him, "Why do you do this? Why do you have your tongue like this?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I can't stop my tongue from chanting, even at this unclean place." "Oh," said Gopal Guru, "you should know that Krishna is everywhere, even in the unclean place." "And you could die in the unclean place, so chant his name." Gauranga Mahaprabhu saw the little boy and accepted his teaching and said, "Your name is Gopal Guru." Small boy, he was made the guru. "Your name is Gopal Guru. I totally accept." So Gopal Guru was initiated into all the very confidential subject of Gauranga Bhakti, and he instructed his disciple, and this disciple defines japa. Would you like to hear how japa is to be done? First of all, the external symptoms of proper japa are described, and then the internal symptoms of japa are described. External symptom means what do you do with your body. Tato japa lakshanam yata na kampayet shiro grivang dantang naiva prakashayet mana sangharanam socham monam mantrata chintanam. First, the sadaka shall not move his head and neck about. That's mean. That's not good. Then he should go inside. He should sanctify his mind by withdrawing it from the objects of the senses. Huh? You should take the mind away from the contemplation of material sense objects and things of this world. Then the next thing is you should ponder the meaning of the mantra. Malini Priya, I think this is good for you to note down for the devotees. Please write it down. And then he should maintain silence. We will repeat them and go through each one of them. So the first thing is externally you should sit still and should not show your teeth. You can't imagine what I see from this position. Some of you are. It's like you are eating a stone, you know. The sweetest, it's supposed to be the sweetest of the sweetest, Krishna's name. So, not move head and neck about, and don't show the teeth. Don't move head. You're really right. I mean, this is better than I've ever seen. You've learned this in your when you were a teacher, or it's just. Yeah, wonderful. Now comes, please write, put a line, so there's a separating mind. Make the mind pure by withdrawing it from the objects of the senses. That is, as you chant, try to bring the mind back from wherever it wanders due to its restless nature. The mind wanders like the little child in the supermarket and grabs one thing and then throws another thing away. No, this is not good, you know, and so on. Second, ponder the meaning of the mantra. What means to ponder? What means to ponder? Who knows English? Think about, contemplate. It means to contemplate. Yes. Contemplate about the meaning of the mantra. I think you all know this from previous japa mantras, japa workshops you have attended. Please accept me in your service. Or you could go to the meanings which Gopal Guru Goswami has given. Those of you who wish to find the meanings, it's in that book, Naam Rahasya. It's printed there. Naam Rahasya. The next is maintains silence. The Sanskrit word here is monam. Tomorrow we will have ample opportunity for this. But monam during the practice means when you don't allow yourself to be interrupted. When there is an interruption, you can just point to the mala and everyone will understand you have to finish your one round. Yeah? That is a habit which you should try to take, to finish each mala. Then you can converse. Now, oh, it's so good. We have 4 more minutes. Is there any question regarding these points? Mathuranath and Vrinda Devi, yes, and Sridhar.
This first point that one should not move the neck about.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, you know, even though this, when we watched in Chopali, chanting in the morning devotees to Radhana Maharaj, but they're all, you know, like this. You see these devotees actually do it, you know, like many times.
Yeah, yeah. Now, first of all, it's not that the Chopati devotees are on the level of perfection. They are giving their best. I hope that. I mean, I'm giving such lectures in the Chopati temple. It's all right. I can say this. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about this. He says, when ecstasy moves the body, then you can move it. Because so what I think, what usually is, this is now private, it's not an official statement of the Japa retreat. What I think, it's the Kundalini Shakti which moves you a little. I'm watching you and I'm trying to understand what moves you and what, and I think it's that. It's coming. Also, you know, in our bodies is so much tension, do you know this, and in our mind, that somehow as you chant, it gets released and then it moves you. Ivo, you look so concentrated. Is everything all right? I'm becoming afraid of your penetrating eyes. It's just you try to concentrate. Yeah. No, it's all right. I believe for some it may be the Kundalini or whatever. I mean, and for others it's just that it somehow helps. For a third possibility is, I think it helps you to come in this innocent state. You know, as children, you remember what we did in our bed? Do you remember? Lilananda, you remember? Oh, I was singing the whole day in my bed. What? Yeah, moving. It's a little bit, yes, it you come back in this, it's a different mental state. It's also alpha brain and so on. I'm sorry, I'm so analytical. I hope I'm not disturbing you by demystifying everything and saying that you may maybe not on the high, be on the highest state of transcendental ecstasy. There could be something else going on. Whatever it is, I don't think it's a problem. It becomes a problem when you see this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram. I saw one devotee who was, you know, Hare Krishna. He really looked like I was thinking, my God, if I come close, I will get a knockout, you know. He really looked like Fliegengewicht im Boxen. Wie sagt man Fliegengewicht, you know? Lightwave, thank you. Lightweight. It looked like lightweight chanting, you know. It was just so strange. I told the devotee, is everything all right? Is it? I'm trying to fight my mind, Maharaj, you know. All right, just give me a second. I'm moving in the other direction. Lilananda says I should just go like this. You have KO, you know, mind is KO. Chant normally. I really think it is like this. I'm also going sometimes. It just somehow comes, isn't it? One is not even aware. It's somehow, something gets released. I don't know to explain it better. Maybe we can next time get some brain wire, you know, and hook it to a brain machine, and then it says, this part of the brain, the brain crust, you know, is tickling and giving a signal. I think really you release something. And if you do this like this, it's all right. It's just not... Krishna. Yeah. Any other question? Vrinda Devi, yes.
Regarding not showing the teeth, also in relation to the proper Sanskrit pronunciation, I was, this, all of you don't take offense with me. I learned from, actually it was the son of Padmanabha Goswami from Radha Mountain, who is being taught proper Sanskrit from his early childhood, that most of the Western devotees, not only the Chinese and the French, don't know how Krishna is spelled in Sanskrit. And that there is actually no I inside. It's not a syllable. It's this which the Orient people, Orissa people, they pronounce it like ru. So there is different dialects also in India about Sanskrit. But I was wondering if we could reduce this showing the teeth. If we learn from Prabhupada how to pronounce Krishna, it's three letters with this dot underneath, which is very much inside. It's not about showing it's the teeth. You can't show if you pronounce it like that.
Krishna. Krishna.
And the R is no. The R is also short in Krishna. Very short, actually.
Yeah, not.
I was just wondering when we were chanting only one name, mm-hmm. I came to my critical mind, actually we are not pronouncing Krishna properly.
Mm-hmm.
Is this an obstacle or...
An obstacle could be to think too much about this.
To me it was an obstacle.
No, it's... Krishna. We have heard Prabhupada's chanting with the example, and I think that's a good place where Vrinda Devi takes us to this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How Prabhupada chants is obviously the right name, but I can assure you, Krishna hears you with all your. Think. Let me language specialities. You, Krishna even hears when we chant the name in a disconnected way. That is, in one word, har appears, in another, reappears, and Krishna says, "Someone is chanting Hari." He hears it when you chant namabasa unintentionally. Like the person who chanted when he was attacked by a wild boar, Haram. He unintentionally said the name of Rama, although he was a Muslim and pronounced in his language a curse. Oh, how terrible, you wild pig. You know. So when a devotee sits down, he should make an effort to chant it like he hears from his spiritual master. But then when his Swiss dialect or his French dialect or German dialect or even the Halle Lama dialect comes, he shouldn't feel that Krishna is rejecting him. in general, when we the Gaudiyas always think that Krishna hears the mind of the devotees, that he is not, but the smarter Brahmanas, since time immemorial, think only if you know the ritual and the technique correct. Now I know Chandan, or his name is Chandan, I believe, and Padmanabha Goswami very well. They are like my family member. They are not into this. They just into the smarter criticism. That's not their heart. We know them, but it may be that some of the information which they have from a Sanskrit linguist perspective is coming from that direction, you know. Give your best to chant the holy name, and so on. But what Vrinda Devi said is, I also felt when we did this Hare, 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 you know, that was not really how we pronounce it. It came out. Still, I thought it was valuable because we stayed with one name, and when we chanted in a normal way, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, then we do it correctly. Yeah. No. Why forgive? I mean, we are.
I personally derive much joy since I know that.
Yes. How could one do the two simultaneously, listening attentively and pondering about the meaning? See, when you ponder or contemplate the meaning, it's something like being aware of what you chant, but it's not really so much a mental effort. I would like to give an example. How can you eat and share affectionate emotions at the same time? When you eat, let us say, are you married or no? But you have a friend, maybe a male friend. Yes, you eat with your. What is the name of your friend? Anyone? Vijay. Vijay, yes. If you eat with Vijay, there is a general sympathetic feeling in your heart. You are aware Vijay is from London. He was with me at the Japa retreat. He is a husband of Vijayta, and so on. You are aware of this, all this, but it doesn't stop you from eating. You know, you can perform, in other words, the concentration which you need for eating simultaneously with being in a general mood, a general understanding, a general thing. Ultimately, I would really like to say this. This is very important now, and with this I will close this session. Ultimately, when you chant, everything is supposed to just come together like ingredients which come together in a preparation, let us say, like halava. It's all there, but it's all one. You know, the halava is a halava preparation. So in the same way, you are aware of Krishna, you pray to Krishna, you concentrate, you pronounce the mantra, you sit properly. It's all there, but you can forget the ingredients. You can forget about this and just chant. It's a little bit cryptic, mysterious. You know, like in a halava, there is cardamom, there is grains, there is, what else do we put in Kannada? Sugar. Oh, too much sugar. Ghee. What else? Farina, this grain. Water. Right? Water, like anything. So it's all there, but when you eat it, you don't think this is water now, this is cardamom, this is farina, this is sugar. It's there, but you can forget about it. So in the same way, when you chant, there are these techniques, there are these things, but ultimately you just sit down and chant. What? They melt in, yes, they will melt in. I would say, you just listen. You just experience how the holy name enters and you are in the presence of Krishna. And you don't think. See, you must know, the mind is not all necessary for spiritual life. I hope this is not published independently. There was a retreat. A dangerous sect said, the mind is not necessary for spiritual life. What we mean with this is, the mind who is in the past and in the future, thank you, analyzing, constructing, building mental images and so on. This is not the reality. This is just a mental reflection. I want to give you an example. If I'm going with Ivo on the hill and we watch the sun set, then the usual person watches the sunset and then he gets out of the moment of the sunset and starts to describe it, to analyze it. Do you see the colors? Do you see the red? Do you see? I'm no longer with the sunset. I'm with my mind. My reflection, my description, and so on. So in spiritual life, just as Prabhupada said, where is the question of the mind? Just listen. That's really the point. We don't need the mind to listen. I hope this doesn't sound too radical. Can you understand what I mean? So that we come to the state of listening very nicely, we are really analyzing it, we are really hearing from Dhyana Chandra Goswami, we are really doing different exercises, we are mindful. But the idea is, I'm teaching you the techniques and then forget the techniques and just go. This is the idea. Because if you become fixed to the techniques, you think about techniques. Or grammar, isn't it, Vrindadevi? Like, you, oh my God, is this grammar? The is too long. Why do they? A little shorter, please. You were not chanting the holy name. You were chanting shorter, longer. No spiritual benefit for a minute, then I think you gave this up. You will therefore say, some devotees said to me, I'm struggling. Don't worry, just struggle a little. We are doing something with you the retreat, how it's designed, will do something with you, and you will see when you come out of the retreat, something has happened, and you don't know really what has happened. What has happened is the holy name has revealed himself a little. I'm now really, I'm 15 minutes too late. We now need to do yoga. It's absolutely necessary that we move ourselves a little bit. We have 5 minutes to assemble in yoga cloth and so on. And this afternoon we will have a surprise for you. Maybe we should say it already now. Bhanu Nandini.
Dragi Bhakte, može malo pažnje. Danas imamo iznenađenje za vas. Ja sam neke od vas pitala da li biste išli na izlet ako bude ljepše vrijeme, i evo, sunce je prosijalo. Pa mislimo u 4 sata, znači ako možete da se obučete u odjeću za šetnju, ići ćemo na jednu malu šetnicu. So dear devotees, today we spoke with some of you. If you would like to go outside and have some classes outside, if the weather is nice. So the sun is shining and we are really fortunate to go outside, as you all agreed, if the sun is there. So please at 4 o'clock just dress your joggings and your shoes for walking. We will make a little walk and have the class in the nature. Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe you can bring your yoga mats with you so you can sit down. That's a good idea. Znači, možete ponijeti i podmetače za sjedanje sa sobom.